Father, we just thank you. We just thank you for your word. We just thank you, Lord, that as we come together, Lord, you minister to us. We just thank you, Lord, that we can receive from you today all things that you have in store for us. Help us to remove the limitations that we put on your abilities in our lives, and to allow you to change our hearts and to quicken our minds so that we may be able to appropriate and take hold of everything, Lord, that you have done for us. Lord, that what you did is more than enough to give us victory today. And we just give you all the honor and the praises to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, last week I gave you an assignment. It was to start praying the two prayers that Paul makes in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 1 and chapter 3. How many did actually do that? That's good. If you didn't know that, this is something that I suggest for us to do collectively as a church, to open up to the Holy Spirit, to receive from him the things that God has prepared for us, so that we come into that place of authority that Jesus wants us to have. So if anyone would even go beyond that and maybe memorize those two prayers, that would be even better. So you don't need to go and read them. You can do and pray them wherever you are, whenever you, you know, it's not that difficult. And the more you open up yourself to that truth, the more you're going to be able to receive. And so I would suggest that if you can, just make the effort of knowing it by heart. It's where they are down at our heart level that are going to be working. We want those prayers to become manifested in our life. We want to be able to appropriate completely what he has done. We have to do everything with what Jesus said with the Great Commission. All authority is being given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you go. You see, it's that authority that we had to come to receive, to be able to appropriate in our hearts. When we got to that place, there is nothing that can stop us. But until you get to that place, things around you may oppose what you are trying to do, what you are wanting to do, what God wants you to do, and you may not succeed. Because you gave in, you give in. You see, that song that we sang before, I will not be moved. Well, you are not going to be moved when you have Jesus' authority. See, all authority. See, some translations say all power is given to me. Actually, no, it's not power. It's the authority that is given to us. See, physically, and we're going to see that later on, there is a difference between authority and power. And the power we have is limited in ourselves. Because for power and force is the same thing, the ability that you have to do something physically. But authority is the ability to exercise the power of somebody else. See, this is delegated authority that we have, the delegated power that we have. And the power we have is the power of God. So beyond our authority, there is God's power to back us up. See, the same thing as policemen that direct the traffic, for example. Okay, he doesn't need to go and stop the cars. He just put the hands there and the car stops. Why? Because behind him there is all the government and the power that the government has to implement that is that authority. Well, behind us, behind the authority that Jesus has given us, there is the power of God to back us up. And when we realize that, we know, number one, that we have is not ourselves. It's Him. It's His power. And we have to depend on Him to be able to exercise the power. But as we are His representative, there is nothing that can stop us. So, I believe we have to get to the place where we start understanding this and start becoming a reality in our life. And when it becomes a reality, it's not going to be just theology or a theory. It's going to be manifested in the results we get. Now, we all have to grow into that more. This is our spiritual growth, is the manifestation of what Jesus has provided for us through His victory on the cross, so that we may walk in that authority. Let's say it together. We have to start taking positions, not to be moved. So it starts with you reminding yourself that you are in that position. Because the enemy tries to convince you that you don't have it. That you don't have that authority. That you have to go and maybe pray for 50 hours before you have to have the authority. But that is being given to you already. It's not that you don't have to pray for 50 hours. But that's not the basis to get the authority. The basis to get the authority is believing that what Jesus did is enough. He has done it. He said it's finished. And when we truly believe it, it's going to be fully manifested in our life. Now we have to deal with ourselves about truly believing it. So that we don't believe in what we see, or what we hear, or what other people say. Or what we even think sometimes. But we believe in what the Word of God says. So let's just make a confession or a statement together about this. Starting with part of the Great Commission, saying simply, Jesus said that all authority has been given to Him. In heaven and on earth. Therefore, I can go with that authority. In Jesus' name. Amen? I mean, we had to remind ourselves. That's a great thing to start the day with. You get out of bed, and the first things that come out of your mouth is Jesus said that He has all power and authority on heaven and on earth. Therefore, I can go in Jesus' name with that authority because He has delegated it to me, to you. And we have to believe it, to see it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. So let's go and see. We didn't have time to read those prayers. Last week, we are going to do it today. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 16. This is Paul praying. And we get to make this personal. Okay. He says, I do not cease to to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So you see, this is something that he prayed for the Ephesians. When you pray this prayer, you can do it in two different ways. Start doing it for yourself. Start praying this prayer so that we can receive the truth in it for yourself. But don't stop there. You can pray the prayer for other people too. There is a principle of sowing and reaping. And the Bible says that seeds reproduce after themselves. So if you want to receive this seed of the word inside you, you have to plant that seed even for others. As you plant it for others, you're going to receive it yourself. The best way to receive healing is to start praying for healing for other people. And it doesn't mean that you don't have to pray for yourself, but pray also for others. If you want to be blessed financially, start giving. People try to give to get healed. Doesn't work that way. Because it produces after itself. You cannot buy from God anything. But you can give in faith so that it produces in you the faith to receive for finances. Praise the Lord. Making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Can you say wisdom and revelation? In the knowledge of Him? You see, we need to receive knowledge about Him and to receive wisdom and revelation. We need, see, the results of this prayer should be that we start seeing things that we didn't see before. We start understanding things that we didn't understand before. We get revelation in our heart of the truth of this authority that we have that's talking about afterwards. So we want to see that we appropriate that. Wisdom and revelation. Is revelation is not logical understanding. This is something that you may have heard and said many times and suddenly becomes new to you because the Spirit brought revelation to your heart about that truth. And you know the truth in that particular area. And as you know it, you are set free. Knowledge is not mind knowledge. It's gnosko. Ginosko, if you want. Which means actually experiential knowledge. You know like you know somebody. Like a person. Now, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You see, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He gives you the understanding, the spiritual understanding that you need, that you may know the hope of His calling. That what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. We had to really start seeing the riches of what God has provided for us. See, this is not something that you're going to be able to fully see now, maybe in your life. But as you get the revelation, when you had the understanding, when you had to know, and you are enlightened about that, you start seeing, oh yes, this is what has given to me. And as you receive that understanding is going to be coming a reality for you because it's in your heart. You know, last week I was sharing how the Lord was showing me in the area of healing as He was revealing to me new things about what He had given me long ago. but I didn't start walking in it completely because of my understanding was limited in the things that he had given me. See, I kind of boxed God in one specific gift or willing, when instead he had done much more than that. Now, in the areas that I was ready to receive, which was praying and be successful for pain, it was just the way I interpret what he had told me. Because of the revelation that he had given me in that particular area. But in reality, he had given me so much more that they did not fully grasp when he talked to me about it. He just showed to me, do you remember what happened there? And that particular time when that healing instantaneously took place. And I said, yeah. He says, you remember, and I applied that only to pain, but the guy had heart problem. And he was healed instantaneously of his heart problem. So why I was stopping God in believing that he had only given me the ability to pray for pain in such a successful way? I mean, just, but God works us the way we are at. So we got percentage of result. I mean, 90% of success rate, as you've seen many times, is pretty good, wouldn't you say? Well, he wants to do that in the other area too. Why not? Why should I limit God in what he has done? But you see, as I was praying and I was opening up and I was dealing with me about my limiting faith or limiting the way the Jews did, the God of Israel, and he started opening up, this is, there is more there. And I started to be open to that, but he had to start bringing revelation to me before I could walk in that particular path. Hello? Are you following what I'm saying? You see, it's when he speaks to you that the thing become real. And you can grasp on and say, well, wait a minute, I had it all the time. Why I was limiting him? Because I couldn't see properly in that dimension. See, our physical eyes and our mind limits God in the things that he has done. Because, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit to open our mind and to give us revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation to enable us to do the things he called us to do. See, I believe that just as a result of him speaking to me, we are going to see new manifestations of that. Not because it's anything different. It's because I'm more open and now allowing him to do what he wanted to do all along. And this is why we need to pray for this. We need to pray, Lord, show me, give me spirit of wisdom and revelation. What are the riches of your glory manifested in us? Are you following me? He works with me the same way he works with you. But I learn to listen. I learn to heed when he tells me something. There is another principle that often I speak about, but I don't know if people get it. And some people get even not happy about it. And it's the principle that when God speaks to us, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we should heed to what he is saying. We should not forget. We get blessed. God ministered to us. And then we get busy and we forget what he told us. This is a big mistake. Everything that the Holy Spirit told us, we had to hold on as precious gifts. Not to forget it. Because if we forget it, we lose it. We allow other things to become more important. Instead, the most important thing that we can have is God's revelation that is dealt with us in areas and taught us something that we should come to experience. They should come to understand. People are baptized in the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongues, and then they start questioning and they start doubting it, and they lose it. And that doesn't please the Holy Spirit. Because He has given us this gift, and now we treat that gift as common, as not holy. Are you following what I'm saying? I see that happening all the time. Because we are busy, because we are caught up, because we are bombarded all the time by many things. The most important thing is what this prayer talks about. Gives me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that they may know the riches that I have already because of what Jesus has done. It's not that I deserve them, but He has done it for me, and I had to be open to receive it. Jesus died for everybody. But not everybody benefit from what He has done. Not everybody can have a relationship with the Father. Not everybody can manifest the healing of their body. Not everybody can receive peace in their heart. Not everybody can become the people that God wants them to be. And it's not God. It has nothing to do with God. It has to do with us. It has to do with them. Now let's continue this prayer. And the hope of His calling. I mean, if we would just see the hope of His calling, we'll be so excited. And I get really excited sometimes about seeing what God is doing. But this is the motivation inside us, the desire to keep going, because you see what is ahead there. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does to you. It shows you things to come. It shows you where you're going to be tomorrow, so that you are motivated to get there. There is always something that you have to do to get there. You see, God doesn't just work and does everything for you. There is always something that we have to do to make happen what He wants to do with us. And if that is just simply just believing instead of not believing. The inheritance of the riches of the glory and the inheritance, the exceeding, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe. This is actually the power of God working in us. When we realize it's not just anything, but it's the power of God. I mean, there is nothing more powerful than God. He is the one that said, and the whole universe was put together. Is the same power, and is the power that is even, you know, according to the work of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him on His right hand in heavenly places. You see, the resurrection power, the same power that was manifested in Jesus, is working in you and me today. What can that power not do? Nothing. Nothing is impossible to God. Do you realize? Sometimes we see, you know, for example, we pray for somebody for healing. And, you know, we think that it's easy to heal a headache, or you know, somebody that comes from a major disease is more difficult to do. But for God, there's no difference between headache and, as I said last week, ingrown toenail or cancer. What's the difference? God's power is... See, the problem is us, because we make one thing small and the other things big. But God is bigger than all these things. And it's us, we had to change the way we see things. We had to change the way we feel about things, because the way we feel reflects on what you believe. the same power. This is something that we have to remind ourselves. It's already in there. It's not that you have to go someplace to get it. He said you have to just stop limiting it. Stop boxing it inside without letting it manifest. Oh, and the fact that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father is just nothing else than the fact that he's there for that to actually working and working in us. He's taking our side. His ministry now is to pray for the saints, to intercede for the saints, to be praying for in our side. Then goes on, says, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only on this age, but also in the which is to come. I mean, there is nothing that is bigger than that. On heaven and on earth. And then goes on, and says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. So if he's under his feet and the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who feels all in all, that means he's under our feet too. And this is the place where we have to keep all the principalities and power. You have to keep all the things that are hindering God's will on earth. And we have to believe, simply believe, to take our position of authority right now, right here. Not be moved by that position. Stand there. We're going to see more in detail, but important, you see, you start praying for that to go down inside your heart so they start to become a reality instead of starting to become a scripture out there or a theology that you believe in. Theology in itself has no power. It's the word alive in you that has the power to make the difference. Praise the Lord. So let's go to the other scripture now, Ephesians chapter 3. Starting from verse 14. It says, therefore this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all the family in heaven and on earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, not according to your limitations. You see, his gift that is available to us. We have to be open. He wants to give us things, but if we are not open to receive what he has given us, we are not going to receive it. If I want to give you $1,000 and you are not taking it, you don't have it. If God wants to give you all the riches he's talking about here, all the power, all the resurrection power that brought Jesus back from the dead. I mean, that's a big thing. And we are there questioning it. And we are there doubting it. And we are there maybe repeating it with our mouth. But when it comes to having to deal with an opposition, with a problem, with a difficulty, we just there, well, maybe, you know, I don't know what to do. Is that really believing that he wants to give it to, that he has already made it available for you? It's available. It's for us to take. But we can only take what we can take, what we are able to take. The more we can open up to the Spirit of God and the truth of the Word of God, and the more we are going to see it manifested. Instead of going around, oh yes, I believe it, we should look at the results we get. Because the results we get are the manifestation of what we believe. Are you still there? According to our faith, we can see, and we can do, and we can receive. So that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man. You see, it has to happen inside there. Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And that he, again, through, we use the word faith, and I sometimes always like to say, no, that's pistis, which actually through what we believe. It's not an abstract thing. Faith is a very solid, real thing. And are the things you believe. See, we made faith a word that is a religious connotation, when instead, pistis simply mean belief, the things you believe. So, the true Christ be in you through your belief. If you believe that he is there, guess what? He's there. Amen? But if you believe that other things are there, that's what is going to be there. Amen? All right. It's not theory. It's not theology. It's art reality that makes the difference. That you being rooted and grounded in love, you see, it's not depending on your effort. It's you're rooted in grounded in love. Which love? Your love? No. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and depth and height to know the love of Christ. You see, it's his love working toward us that we are able to receive and are able to fill us up because we are not trusting in ourselves but trusting in the love that he has for us. Beyond all imagination. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What more can you get if you are filled with all the fullness of God? What does it mean to be filled with the fullness of God? That you go around feeling good, but feel much more than that. It's not a question of just feeling good. It's that the power of God is manifested and working inside us and is going to be evident to the one around. This is what God wants to do from the beginning of creation. He wants to create the people, a people that can be called the sons of God. Why? Because they manifest the power of God in their life and they can go around doing the things that Jesus did. He said, you know, greater things than this shall you do because I go to the Father. So it's because he's up there and has delegated to us his victory that we can go out and do it in his name. Amen? It blows your mind, because it's beyond what is conceivable by our thinking. But we have to stop conceiving things with our thinking, and we instead start believing what the Word of God says to be able to appropriate what it says. Can you say to them, filled with the fullness, all the fullness of God. Let's say it together. That's too weak. Fill with all the fullness of God. I got it now. Hallelujah. Well, that's a bit better. We had to allow that reality to be in us. That means we had to take some steps out of the common, of the world, to lift ourselves up together in the heavenly. You had to leave these things behind, and your thinking, and your body, and your experiences, and your limitations, and everything else that happened in the past, to start moving into the future. That's how you appropriate things by faith. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, Can we say exceedingly abundantly?
Exceedingly.
How much is that?
A lot.
Amen. All right. Exceedingly abundantly. Above all that we ask or think. I see. It sounds good to me. According to the power that works in us. Actually, we should say, according to the power that works in me. Well, let's say it together. According to the power that works in me. I like that. Do you? This is what God wants. You see, it's not something, we are not after our own glory. We are after God's glory. We want to see God's glory manifested. We want to see people that come into God because not of our philosophy or our ideas or our little jobs or our little things. We want to see God's work the way Jesus did. People were going to him not because he was a good theologian or a good speaker, which probably he was a good speaker anyway. But that, the good speaking comes as a result that has come out of your heart, not out of your head. You don't need to be an orator to have an impact. You have to be spirit-filled. That's coming out of your heart that makes the difference and touches people's hearts. According to the power that works in you, in me, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and ever. People says, the miracles are ended with the apostles. Forget it. It says for all generations. Hello? Does it include us?
Yes.
Does it include your children?
Yes.
Do you include your children's children if it doesn't come before?
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready to be raptured? Well, I'm ready. But the point is, until we are around here, we have to manifest the power of God. Until we are here, we have to be open for God to do more through us. Let's not be like the Jews that limited the God of Israel because of their unbelief. We have to be believing. We have to discover our authority and we have to exercise our authority. If you know about your authority and you don't use it, doesn't do any good. Actually, it's going to damage you. It's going to be a curse for you. Because the things that you don't put to practice, the things that you don't use, you're going to be fooling yourself and you're going to, after not believing, you're going to fall off. It's going to harden your heart. That's part of obedience. Obeying God for the things that are revealed to you is essential for your growth and for your development and to become the people you want to be. Otherwise, you get stuck. The authority. And the authority that we have is important to understand that we have to use it in our daily life, in the things we do day by day. In Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians is full of this and is full of the power of God. Verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickednesses in heavenly places." Sometimes translations do not quite completely fit the original language. So I'm going to give you a literal translation for this, using the actual word. Actually, this is already better than the King James. The King James uses different words too. In literal translation, we say, because wrestling against flesh and blood is not to us, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual powers of evil in the heavenlies. You see, our fight is against these things, not against people, not against things in the world, physical world. So when you come against the situation, you are not, the situation is not the key. It's what is behind the situation that is the key, that you have to take a position. Don't look at the physical things. This is why it doesn't matter what, if it's a disease that you come against it. It's not the disease itself. It's what is behind that that you have to deal with. This is what has to be overcome. This is, you see, you are not doing the physical thing because it's not you, it's not your power that, to change the physical, but you have authority to exercise against what is behind that. And so you have to take a position against these things to implement God's authority, and that means God's power against these things. It's not you, essentially. It's Jesus working in you. So we had to, it's Jesus' authority. Jesus defeated them. He made a show of the principalities and power. He overcome them completely. He is sitting at the right on the Father. He has the authority that is above all authority. So how can they even resist when you come in His name? See, you had to come to grasp with the degree of authority that you actually have. Now, to be able to do that is not because you are thinking about it. It's not because you say, oh, I agree with this theory or this theology. It's because you really got to the place in which you got the spirit of wisdom and revelation about this truth, and then you're going to operate in this truth. And this is going to be different from area to area. The fact that you, for example, can operate in faith in for financial matters doesn't mean that you're going to be able to operate in faith for healing. Each specific situation is different. And so you have to get to your place in your heart in which you actually can expand the things you can work for. Through. The power of darkness that we have been reading, for example, here in Ephesians, works by deception. It makes you look at the physical. But there is actually no power because it was conquered. Everything was conquered by Jesus. So if you accept the deception, He got you. See, this is the way it worked from the very beginning. He fooled Adam and Eve so that they believed Him instead of believing God. Today, He fools believers believing that they had to do certain things that are wrong because that's the only way out, when instead it's not the only way out. God has always His way that is better. Are you following me? So when we know the truth, and know the truth to the point that we believe the truth, I mean, know the truth experientially, the devil can come to us and can throw at us all the darts, all the physical things, all the different ideas, all the doubting thoughts. And they do nothing. They just pass over us like water on a duck's back. Just they fall off because they don't have any hold. See, that's what it says, that Jesus, the devil, had no hold on Him. Why? Because His mind was renewed. His heart was stable in the truth. And nothing the enemy would say would affect Him. And what He would, just the word would come out of Him when He was tempted and was demolishing any of the attacks of the enemy. If you remember. He said, and He quoted the word. It wasn't because He was trying to overcome it. It's just because it was true and was a reality for Him. Well, I think that we're running out of time. I hope that you start seeing how important it is for you to actually take hold of this reality. To be a victorious believer, a victorious Christian. Your authority is Jesus' authority. And beyond that authority is God's power. Do I need to say any more? That's all you need. But you have to really operate in that at that level. So, my suggestion, things are written in our heart by meditation. You start meditating and praying those scriptures, which is the same thing. Every day, at least once a day, if you can, memorize them. And then to come and tell me when you start seeing things changing in your life. When you start taking positions in things that you may have not been able to break through, because God is going to show you specific things, giving you revelation about thoughts and ideas that they you were accepting before that actually are contrary to the Word of God, and He's going to counteract them with the Word of God, and He's putting those things down and overcoming them in your life. And there's going to be no temptations anymore, because the strength of God is in you to back you up in victory. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Are we ready for the battle? Well, the battle is His. So we need to only go along with it, because we are going to be in the right frame of mind with the right thoughts of God, and He is going to take over the situations. You see, I shall not be moved. That's the only part you have to have. But to be able not to be moved, you have to be filled. You have to abide in the vine. That's right. The songs we sang before. You know, you have to be filled. You have to be given revelation. And you know, that feel is at times you're going to be bombarded by the things, because there are things you are still struggling with. Well, you have to be keep filling yourself until you're not bombarded anymore, because your situation, your surrounding, your conditions is changed. And you say, how that happened? Step by step, He guides you into victory. I'm going to close for that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you for your victory. Thank you, Lord, that we can rejoice today, Lord, in what you have done. Thank you, Lord, that we have no idea of what you have prepared for us, because it's beyond our imagination. We thank you, Lord, that we know that we can come into that reality, because this is your will. We are praying according to your will. And we yield to your Holy Spirit to give us wisdom, revelation, understanding, so that because of we trust in your love and your victory. And we praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.